Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour. Here we have Jonna Spilbor, we have Carol Pesci, and we have, oh, drum roll, please. I'm just kidding. No drum rolls for me. We have this Frankenberry fella as well. And ladies, how are we doing today?
Good, and I think maybe Frankenberry, you should cue up a drum roll sound. And from now on, after the intro runs and you say, good morning, everyone. We got Jonna, we got Carol. I think there should be a pause, a drum roll, and me.
Well, you know what we could do?
You drum roll.
You know what I'm thinking, though? We could do... Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and followed by the drum roll, like you said.
Yep.
Then the sound of crickets.
No.
And then a wow.
No.
Frankenberry. What do you think? You like
that? Just a different idea.
I like that, yeah.
I think it should be drum roll, followed by cymbals bashing together. You're like the remember those monkeys, the little wind-up monkeys?
Yes.
Like that.
Or some cartoon where they're kicking their legs high in the air while they're crashing the cymbals. And
do you guys
walking?
Remember when we used to do this show at night up in Poughkeepsie Live?
That was so
And fun. We, Jonna and I got on a tear for a bit with an app that had sound effects. Do you remember, Frank, how much we annoyed you?
Oh, yes. I was just going to say, annoy was the word I was going to use. Yes, as a matter of fact.
Well, I miss that app.
Yes, I miss it too, last week you tried to use it. You tried to use a sound, and that app was better from like 10 years ago.
Oh, you know what else would work after the drum roll? Remember the old Benny Hill theme?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yes, exactly.
All right, the monkey with the cymbals, Benny Hill.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on that. For next week.
Okay, that sounds good. So we have one of our longtime guests today. Like she's like repeat.
And friend, and good friend.
Guys, we've been trying to get her on the show for so long. She's a very good friend. I know. And, you know, and like other very good friends, Carol and Jeannie and Deborah and Amy included, sometimes it's hard to get us all together at the same time. It's like corralling cats. But we finally got her. And the friend that we are speaking of is Heather Hansen. We go way back because Heather, one of the things I love about her is she used to be a trial attorney. And then she broke free. She broke free.
She's your idol.
She burned the boats.
That's right. And she has become big and she doesn't forget the little people. So she still talks to us.
And she does not. And now she primarily is a speaker and a coach. She's even a hypnotist. And here's something interesting I want to ask her.
I forgot she got into that. That's right.
She got into that.
She's a hypnotist too?
A hypnotist. Yes, she is.
What do you
do? The Benny Hill thing.
You take like an online course on the side to just add to your portfolio?
No. She's certified, Frankenberry. Like she's the real deal.
Sorry.
So
I am a lawyer. I am a speaker. I am a hypnotist.
Yeah.
I build websites. I also sing. I write jingles for television.
Are you done? Are you done?
Yeah, let us know when you're finished.
We love her.
I'm just kidding. Yes. I was totally unexpected. Sorry.
And you better be careful because I believe, at least for temporarily, she is a resident of Dutchess County. So, and you're not that far away, Frankenberry. So I'll send her over to kick your butt.
I'm like two hours away.
No, she's in Northern Dutchess. She's right at the front, top tip of Dutchess.
Yeah.
She's within reach.
She better have a long foot. I'm near Albany.
Well, sometimes you're in the studio.
Oh, speaking of Albany, did you get flooded out, Frankenberry?
Let's just say it rained.
With all that rain last week?
Yes, yeah, it did rain. It rained a bit. Yes, a good bit.
Oh, wow. Over 11 inches in the area just south of Albany. Crazy.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, no floods, though. No floods.
Good.
This is, you want to hear one of my pet peeves? So this goes, you know, when somebody
one
says,
Are you keeping a list?
I was going to say, I need a new, well, you know what?
What
it
number?
Is back. It is back to school season. So we can buy new notebooks to keep our, to continue the list.
You're not up. So, you know, like when it gets really hot and people, oh, it's so hot. And then somebody go, yeah, but it's a dry heat. Like that's supposed to make it better. Here's my, here's
smack them.
My new, exactly. Yes. My new pet peeve when they're like, oh, the rain and oh, we got a flood and it's been raining 40 days and 40 nights. And then somebody go, well, we needed it.
Oh,
yes.
God.
And we did it.
Yes. I was going to say, and you know what?
My hair didn't need it.
I know.
It's the exact same thing as, well, you know, it's going around.
I was
going to
say, it's going around.
Exactly. It's the exact same thing. Like it's some sort of law that there has to be at least one person that says, well, we needed it.
Yeah.
That one dude sitting on the front deck of a freaking general store in a town that has seven people has to be the guy that says, well, you know, we needed it.
But yeah, I suppose we shouldn't be mad because that's just people's way of looking at the bright side of crappy situations like excessive heat, excessive rain, famine, that kind of thing.
That's not why people are mentioning it to you in the first place. They're not trying. They're not looking for bright sides. They're looking for somebody to bitch and moan with them. Okay, you're
that's
getting it
true.
Wrong.
That's true. You're right. You're right. I'm getting it wrong. But that's okay because it just adds to my list of
people. She came out with that so smoothly.
Yeah, she did. She did.
She didn't even stutter.
Because I didn't. Because I don't really even mean it.
Oh,
that's why.
Got it.
Oh, Gus, speaking of excessive heat, I still don't have working AC. We'll just put a pin in that. I know.
You're a tough cookie and a lawyer, and you don't have this resolved yet. What is going on?
And here's the problem with that, right? Because people will be like, yeah, you're a lawyer. What kind of lawyer are you? You don't have the AC working yet? So here's the thing. I wrote.
Oh, didn't I just say that?
You did.
You did, actually, yeah.
I wrote them an email, and because I knew they were going to be thinking the same thing, I explained in my email. I said, listen, it's been before Memorial Day. It's under warranty. My contractor has been in constant contact with you, sending you photos, blah, blah, blah. I said, if I weren't so consumed with helping all my clients through their problems, I would have already sued you. So see, I kind of nipped it in the bud, which is true. Like I ain't got time for this. So I said, you've got until August 1st to make this right, or I'll take all the time I need. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beyond ridiculous now.
It's 2 months, right? Past 2 months?
Over 2 months. May, I think 22nd was the day.
Do they even respond to you?
Yeah, they respond and they said, your contractor should know the components that need to be replaced. He can come here and pick them up. And then my contractor says, no, that's not it. There's so many components that need to be replaced that I can't just rebuild an entire AC unit. They are supposed to replace the unit itself. So therein lies the rub. They want him to make a new unit like a Mr. Potato Head out of all the pieces they're going to give him for free. And he's like, I can't do that. That's not what I do.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they're basically asking somebody else to do their work for them.
Yeah. Just replace the unit.
And team one has 1 point.
Exactly. My goodness. Mm. So, okay. So back on the, I'm going to start doing some product reviews like I had mentioned to you a couple weeks ago. Remember when I did my fabulous laundry room makeover with all the Amazon finds?
Yes. And we remember.
And you just had that shelf laying on top of your washer dryer.
Still do. Still do.
Waiting for a cat to jump on it.
I built my own metal gigantic storage cabinet by myself, single-handedly. I did that. I reorganized everything. I put together a rolly cart that had 62 screws. So that was my Amazon find.
And there were only two left over.
There was more than two.
They always give you extra. Don't panic.
More than two. But I figure, so maybe I have like a future as the anti influencer, right? Because all these people, they come on, like, here's how I elevated my space, and I'm going to put all the links in the in my bio, link in bio. Boop, boop, boop. Well, every time I do it, it comes out crappy. So I have another one that happened. So I shop in the middle of the night, usually around 3:15 on the Facebook. And the Facebook knows this. So at 3:15...
it's like, good morning, Jonna.
Exactly.
It starts feeding me all the stuff that it knows I like to shop for. Supplements, shoes, purses, right? So it's been feeding me...
Cat towers, cat beds, cat toys, cat food.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Hey, remind me. Maybe I'll save it for next week. I did have a warranty victory on an automatic cat litter box, but put a pin in that. Okay. So now I'm shopping in the middle of the night. And one of the algorithm things that they feed me is a company called Cozy Island. They're shoes.
Well, Cozy Island. They're coming in my feed, and I want those wedge sandals. I just haven't bit yet.
It took me a long time to bite too. But you get the Cozy Island because they're not cheap.
But they're not shipping in the US. And this drives me crazy because it's like, it looks really good. Sounds like a US company, takes 3 weeks to get, and God forbid they don't fit. Nobody's gonna answer you. Am I right?
You're right.
So you went to Temu and you typed in like Cozy Island.
No.
Rinkenberry.
Oh, okay.
He just sounded like a professional shopper just
then. He just sounded like we don't know who the hell he is.
Right.
He does not shop.
Where is our real Rinkenberry? What did you do with him?
I'm guessing that's kind of how it would work, except the team would, they'd send you a picture or something that looked good, but be made out of paper.
Oh, my God. Just when you think you know somebody, he's been secretly shopping on the Temu all this time, and so much so that he knows the trick on how to get Temu to give you the what do you call it? Imposter version of what you're looking for.
The knockoff version?
Yeah, but I digress. All right, so hang on, Carol. Let me put your dream let me snuff out your dream of buying these cozy.
I bet you they're the same shoes. I bet you they are. Oh my God.
So listen, Linda.
Okay.
So Cozy, I've been avoiding it and avoiding it and avoiding it mainly because they look like they're comfortable. Well, no, they look like they're uncomfortable, but their whole shtick is these shoes are fashionable shoes. You can wear them anywhere, night out, work, wherever, but they're extremely comfortable. But they're also expensive. I would say like they're definitely
119. The ones I'm looking at are 119.
And mine were over 100, less than 200. They could have been more like 150. So I finally relent 3 o'clock in the morning and I buy myself a pair of these Cozy Island. They've got like a pyramid heel. They're high. They were higher when I got them than they looked on the advertisement. Nice pair of pumps. You could wear them out. You could even wear them to court. I get them. I put them on my feet and you do feel like they do have a very cushiony bottom. Like they don't feel like a normal pair of pumps. And for a second I was like, wow, these are as advertised. I feel like I'm walking on a cloud. So I put them on my feet. I get ready. I walk out the door. I had to drive about 10 miles from my house.
For 1 second, I'm like, let me just go to Instagram for a sec and scroll down for about 15 seconds because I know they'll come up. And they did. So I'm just going to take a screenshot and tell you the ones. Go ahead.
Yep. These damn algorithms.
Speaking of algorithms. Anyway.
All right. So they're on my feet. I get in the car. I have to drive to the radio station. By the time I pull into the radio station, fortunately, I had a spare pair of shoes in the back of my car because I ripped them off my feet and put on the other shoes. Why?
Why?
Because by the time I got 10 miles down the road, they were painful. Like so painful, I couldn't stand it. Like even for another
even second. Sitting in a car.
So that's it. So the bottoms of these shoes are as advertised. They're squishy. They're spongy. It's kind of comfortable, but the shoe themselves just squeeze your foot as if I don't know. You've put your foot into some sort of lobster claw. I guess I don't know. It was very very. So I'm like, well, do I suffer and try to break them in because they're a new pair of shoes and sometimes they got to get a little, flimsier, but I don't know if I can stand it. But you're right. I'll never be able to return them. Well, number one, I wore them. But number two, I don't even think they came with a receipt. Yeah. I think they came in an unmarked box with no receipt.
Yeah. And then they give you an email if you have any questions, customer service, and then nobody will ever answer you.
Can't you just kind of break them in a little bit? Like, you know, when I was younger and when my buddies and I would break in new baseball gloves, can't you just, like, while you're sitting watching TV, give it some stretches, put, like, you know, something in it to widen it out a little bit and just kind of play with it for a while?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that.
Is he?
What have you done with Frankenberry?
What?
It's
obvious stuff. That's how you break your shoes.
Yeah, just go to Temu and type in Cozy Island similar.
Cozy than us.
What? I'm not going to know that websites let you search stuff? How am I not? I'm not going to be aware of that?
Frankenberry.
Yes.
I have a side hustle for you. Since we now do not know who you are, here's your side hustle.
Okay.
When a person like me buys an expensive pair of shoes like Cozy Island and they don't fit, I'm going to ship them to you. You're going to break them in on your feet, and then you're going to send them back to me. Okay? That's your little side hustle, friend. You want to be smart about it? You want to be a little smart mouth? That's your side hustle. Okay, Mr. Temu?
Right. Okay. It wouldn't be that hard, by the way.
And I want pictures.
I want pictures.
You don't want pictures. I've already gotten in trouble for that in the past.
Do yourself a favor and learn from your mistake when you Googled how to get blood out of a carpet. And do not search how does a guy break in
women's shoes. Yes, yeah. No, I'm not gonna search that either. So we'll call that an end to that little side hustle right now there, Jonna. Kibosh. Right now.
Oh, God. You sure?
I'm sure.
I can't believe he secretly shops online like a real person.
This does not a real person. Me shopping online and like a real person. Jonna, you just admitted you shop at 3:15 in the morning. Facebook literally wakes up at 3:15 to remind you it's your time. It's your window.
Exactly.
That's not what normal people do.
And how about the fact that that Carol and I just mentioned Cozy Island? She opens her Instagram and there's a Cozy Island ad.
Well, that's just because the world is frightening and everybody's listening.
It is. But I have clicked on it before. So, you know, it's just going to keep coming up.
That's true. I should find a picture of the ones.
I just texted you the ones I like.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't.
Okay. Talk about this later.
No, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. Sorry, Frankenberry. Because you're busy. Yeah. You're busy going on a job board saying I am available.
I
am available for a side hustle. Send me your ill-fitting shoes. I'll send them back within 72 hours, broken in like a good baseball glove.
Yes, and I'll send you pictures of my feet that broke them in, and then you'll throw them away. You'll burn them.
And then you could go on. What is that website where people go on? Is it OnlyFans or OnlyFeet or what is that?
OnlyFans. It is OnlyFans.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised though if there is a feet version, a foot fetish version of OnlyFans called OnlyFeet. That's actually pretty good, Carol.
Yeah, no doubt.
Except it would be even better if it had an S on the end, just like fans. OnlyFeets.
See, Frankenberry.
I like that.
We just.
If it was like all pictures of like dog feet and stuff, then I would like it. Toe beans.
We figured out a total side hustle for you. And here's the best part, Frankenberry.
Oh, no, God, it gets better.
No one even has to know it's you, right? We'll call it Frankenfeet. No one will put it together.
Oh, that's, yeah, no one anywhere would possibly make the connection. No, you're good, Jonna. You're very good. That's why you'll be the one that gets away with murder.
This is such a good...
Well, if she does that and needs to know how to get blood out of a carpet, she can call you or text you without having to search it. Because we know you know how.
No, that is a good point. That is a good point. John has already got the info. Yeah. And she's got lime in her basement.
And that's your second side hustle. When you yourself don't want to do the Google search because you don't want to get arrested, you just contact Frankensearch. And Frankensearch will do it for you while he's stretching out your shoes on Frankenfeet.
I have a feeling they probably already have something like that. It's just not called Frankensearch.
But think about it. But in order for Frankensearch to work, in order for our new business model to work.
How did we get here, Carol?
Business model.
We have to communicate. We got here because we're geniuses and this is another multi-million dollar idea for you. So here's the thing. We have to communicate not in writing, because if we're going to communicate what we want you to search to avoid ourselves getting arrested, we have to verbalize it somehow. We can't write it, or digitally it just never goes away, right?
Okay.
So we need some sort of, it has to come with like a walkie-talkie system, right? And then we just go, Franken search. It's cozy feet one to Franken search two, cozy feet one to Franken search two. Are you there? And then you go, I'm here and I'm ready. Okay. Please search how to strangle an elephant while your ex is riding on it to make it look like an accident. And then you go, okay, I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay. Yes. It's very important to make those sounds, by the way. If you want to make it sound more realistic, you definitely need the and the click clicks.
You guys are making me laugh so hard I keep having to mute myself because I'm coughing.
I have a better idea, by the way, Jonna. What do you think about this idea?
Wait, no, Frank, wait. Stop muting yourself because then we can't tell how funny we are. Okay, go, Frank and Barry.
Okay, all right. How about this as an idea? You and I get ourselves an email, okay?
Okay.
Just one email.
Just one?
Just one email. And then what we do is we go in and we write drafts like we're going to send an email, but we never send the email.
Who did that? Somebody did that to Hyde Affairs. Somebody famous.
I know. I'm just kidding. It's already been done. Yes, because the only problem with your million-dollar ideas, Jonna, is that most of them somebody else is already making the millions off of.
Not this one. I got one more. I got one more before we... Okay. All right. Remember a long time ago when we had Jen Sincero on the show? Remember?
Yeah.
Badass? Okay. And she had a little merch that was like a button, and you could press the button, right? And it had all her Jen Sincero-isms on there. Like, you are a badass, and you're this, and you make money, and blah, blah. Okay. Here's what we do. We get one of those where you can record your own little messages on it, right? So if she did it, anybody can do it. I'm sure you can buy it somewhere, right? At the Temu. You get a bunch of them. You order like dozens of them, right? And then I record what I want, the research I want you to do on the Google, you know, how to murder your blah, blah. And then I mail it to you, Frankenberry. I mail it to you. And then you get it and you just press the button and then you do the research. And then you can tell then you can record the research back. Mail me the button back. Frankenberry, it'll get through customs. No one will ever know. Oh my God.
Customs.
That's fantastic.
Now, from Albany to New Hamburg, it's going to go through customs.
The international customs between counties. Yes.
It's like, because John has been on their radar for a while, so they check her mail anyway. But my question is when I do mail this button back to you, now when you press it, do the other cats come running and does food automatically dispense?
That's extra. That's the extra model.
Okay. And if you put a bunch of them on the floor, can you have a conversation with your cats?
You could probably.
Have you ever seen those?
No.
You could have whole conversations with these buttons, even difficult ones.
Oh, that good.
Give me credit.
Okay. All right.
That was an 8.5. That the Russian judge gives you an 8.5.
Okay.
So that's our cue that when we come back from our break.
Shut up.
Let's talk about what we're really talking about. When we come back with our good, good friend, Heather Hansen, she is going to regale us with one of the hot topics on her list that all of her clients and all of her followers are big on. And that is how to have the difficult conversations. Now, most people avoid difficult conversations, but if you avoid difficult conversations, you will never get to where you want to be. You won't get that raise. You won't get that boundary set. You won't get that perfect relationship. So Heather, in her amazing communication skills, has figured out a couple of systems, actually, easy to do, to like anybody can do it, that will make you more comfortable and better at having those difficult conversations. And she's going to dive into all of that and then some when we come back after the break with our good, good friend, Heather Hansen.
She is on the way, as Jonna says, and for Jonna Spillboard, Carol Pesci, and this Frankenfella, we'll be right back with Heather Hansen. So please don't go nowhere.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again, everyone. It's Happy Hour. John Spielberg, Carol Pesci, some fella. And it's time now to get to our guest for today. And longtime guest. I mean, she's been a guest on the show, I'm going to guess, like 30, 40? How many times are we talking here?
30 or 40 years she's been a guest on this show.
I was going to say times. It could be that long as well. I mean, we've been doing this show since, it has been since the 70s, right?
We actually got so excited to talk to our good friend Heather Hansen that we just spent probably half the show talking to her off the air and just catching up because we miss her so much. But for the rest of you, you might remember our very, very good friend Heather Hansen. She has one of the most impressive and amazing resumes of anybody that I know. And I'm not just saying that because I love her, but she is a former litigator, but she still sticks her toe in litigation in one form or another. She's also an amazing speaker and author, a certified hypnotist, and just an all around amazing person. She's got her own podcast. Your podcast, Heather, is that still called the Elegant Warrior Podcast?
It is. Yeah.
Which is a wonderful listen. She has a voice like a hug, and she's back with us again. Please welcome to the show, Heather Hansen.
So happy to be here, guys.
We are happy to have you. And so we were talking off air, and Carol and I were both listening to some of the most recent podcasts because you have a topic that I think, even though you coach and you are an expert in the field of all things litigation, including expert witnesses, but you also are down to earth and can help everyday people with everyday things. And one of those everyday things is how to have the difficult conversations. And between us guys, it seems like more and more conversations are the difficult conversations these days for a variety of reasons. And most people who are adverse to conflict will simply avoid them. Or you come at it arguing. You come at it the wrong way. You, Heather, have some amazing and, dare I say, easy advice on how to tackle these difficult conversations. So why don't we start there? You know, what? Let's talk about what is a difficult conversation.
Well, that is the question. But the first thing I want to say, you said so perfectly, Jonna, you set me up for like three things that immediately would need to tell you. But one of them is people come in fighting to these conversations. And we've got to double click on that because, you know, when you feel like you are being threatened, and these conversations can make you feel threatened, your body naturally goes into the four Fs. Now, you've probably heard fight and flight. Those are two of them. But there's also freeze and fawn. Mm-hmm. Like for me personally, when I was trying cases in the courtroom professionally, I was a fighter. When I felt threatened, when these conversations got threatening, I would fight. In my personal life, I was a fawner. You win. I don't care. I give up. I don't want to fight. And any of these four are not productive. And so the way that there's many ways we can stop ourselves from doing this. And we can talk about the three B's that I teach people. But one of the first B's is belief work. If you believe a conversation is going to be difficult, you are setting yourself up for fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. So you've got to think about these conversations differently. I would love everyone to think they're going to be delightful, but that would be gaslighting ourselves and it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. But if you can think it could be interesting, it could be an opportunity to learn. It could be an opportunity to become a better person when it comes to these quote unquote conflicts. Anything you can believe other than this is going to be conflict, this is going to be difficult, is going to make you less stressed and threatened and therefore better at having these conversations.
That makes perfect sense, Heather, especially when you have the time to do that prior to having the conversation.
Yeah.
What would you say to us when we find ourselves maybe thrown into a situation where we don't have time to say, okay, this is what I'm going to say that this conversation is going to be interesting. I'm going to find it fun. I'm going to find something to learn about it. What if the conversation is thrust upon you and you don't have time to do that reflection ahead of time?
It's a great question. I will say if you start doing the reflection, it becomes more natural and it happens immediately. Mm. But you're right. The first few times that doesn't happen. And so we can talk about the other two B's. So there's three B's that I teach people to overcome the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. They are belief work. So believing that this conversation could be interesting, could be a learning opportunity. That's one. Breath work and body work. So the breath work is you walk into a conversation, maybe you think it's going to be fine. And then that person on the other end of this conversation attacks you or insults you or makes you feel threatened. We often say, take a deep breath. And that is not what you should do in those situations because breathing in activates the sympathetic nervous system. It gets you excited. It gets you agitated. Huh.
Wow.
It's great for if you're
not what I was expecting.
No. And it's shocking to most people. My mom, Carol, used to say to me all the time, take a deep breath. You're going to be okay. Take a deep breath.
Right.
And that is not, you want to give a deep breath. Oh, a longer out breath activates the parasympathetic, the rest and digest part of your nervous system. And so it's as simple as breathing in for the count of four and out for the count of six or out for the count of eight. And that's going to help you to recognize I am safe. One of the things, my hypnosis comes in here because a lot of this is subconscious mind. A lot of times what I will say to myself when I'm doing the breath work and doing a longer out breath is I am safe. I am calm. I choose to be here. Because if you tell yourself you're safe, you're less likely to go into fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. And if you tell yourself you choose to be here, you don't feel as threatened. So that deep out breath is really helpful when something comes upon you quick like that.
Holy moly.
You thought you were going to trip her up, John.
Yeah.
She nailed that.
No, I knew I wasn't going to. She's untrippable.
Untrippable.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to trip as soon as I leave here.
But you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of an example that happened just this week on Monday where I was. Okay, not everybody within the sound of our voice is going to be in court all the time. I happen to be. But I was in court and I was up against an opponent and she started to make an argument to the judge that I was not expecting and it certainly wasn't deserved. And I remember saying to myself while she was making that argument, I can either let it go, like pretend she didn't even say it and just move on with my argument, or I can address it, or I can, you know, jump her in the parking lot. And I actually decided, and I normally would just have let it go. Yeah. And this time, and I didn't, but I didn't raise my voice. And I'll tell you exactly what was said. Maybe you can tell me maybe I was reading it wrong. So we were arguing over whether she had sent a certain email to me that I did not receive. And when I found out I didn't receive the email, I went back through all my emails and I looked at the date she said she sent it. There's nothing there. There was absolutely nothing in my email.
Wait, did you do this while you were sitting in court waiting?
No, the day before court, shortly before court, we had discovered that she said she sent an email I did not receive. Okay. Right. So we weren't able to push the case forward, but I searched and I still don't see it. So when we got to court, instead of her discussing it with me, she went and her argument was, well, you know, I said that I sent Ms. Spielberg an email that apparently she did not get, but and da, 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 da. So then, and that struck me the wrong way. So when it was my turn to speak, I said, Judge, actually, there's no apparently, I did not receive it. Because to me, when you say apparently she didn't receive it, you're implying that I'm lying or you're implying that I have done something wrong. So I just wanted to set that straight. But I said it very calmly. And then I moved on to my argument. But I still wanted to jump her in the parking lot. So I think
understood.
Part of what you're teaching, Heather, would allow me to not want to jump the person in the parking lot and still get through the conversation somehow.
Yeah, first of all, I think you handled it beautifully. In my more recent book, Advocate to Win, I talk about argument. It's an unusual thing what we do, Jonna, because we argue with someone and a third party is deciding that argument.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's most of the listeners, their arguments are against the person who they want to influence and persuade.
Right,
and
right.
That's different. So in your situation, I think you do have to not let that go because you don't want to lose credibility with that third party. And some of the listeners will experience this, you know, at work, for example, or if you're vying for an opportunity and someone else is as well. But if you had to persuade that opponent, Jana, then mm-hmm. you'd have to weigh whether it's worth, you know, fighting about the use of apparently or moving on to something that's more important. But in the setting you were in, I think that you had to, credibility is everything. You had to call her on it. And it sounds like you managed your nervous system. I mean, because you could have also said, she's a liar, she didn't send mm-hmm. it, you know, mm-hmm. and that would have been not the way to manage it. You also have a lot of practice with that and doing it in those moments. But I do think the breath work allows you, it also gives you the benefit of that pause. You know, there's this quote that you guys have probably heard. It's attributed to Viktor Frankl. I'm not sure, but it says between stimulus and response, there is a space. Yep. And that space is the opportunity to pause. And that pause makes all the difference. I may be a little off in the language, might be the opportunity to create a reaction. But the point
I call
is
that the magical gap.
Yes, that's peril. That's what it is.
Yep.
And that deep out breath can be just enough. You know, part of the magical gap is noticing the gap, right? Mm-hmm. Like noticing, oh, I don't need to, react. I can respond. The body work, the third B helps with that as well. And this is something you could have done, Donna, under the table. I used to do this mm-hmm. when I did TV with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'd be so nervous because you're about to take me down.
And you still became friends.
I know. Isn't that wonderful? But in the makeup chair, I would just naturally do this. It's a form of Jinshin, which is an ancient Japanese art of acupressure. And in Jinshin, different parts of your body have different emotional receptors. And your thumbs are anxiety receptors. So they believe that if you grab one thumb with the other and apply just a little bit of pressure, nothing crazy, that you can calm your anxiety. I would do that all the time in the makeup chair. And sometimes even when the host was grilling me under the table, I might be grabbing my thumb with the other hand just to remind myself again, I am safe. I am calm. Wow. I choose to be here. And those things remind you to take that magic gap that Carol mentioned.
So when you talk, sorry, Carol, you go ahead.
So I'm just going to say, Jana, had you known this information mm-hmm. years ago, before Uber, you may not have gotten kicked out of the cab on your way to Poughkeepsie on Route 9. That might not have happened.
That is quite true. But because of those moments when I have been kicked out of cabs, rooms,
it's a true
bars,
story.
Right? You learn from those experiences. Because you decide one day that sometimes they get a little too uncomfortable. How can I avoid the uncomfortable experience? Like how to have those difficult conversations. And I am curious. So the body work, when you say, okay, I could grab my fingers under the table, I suppose. Yeah. But there's got to be more to the body work element of this.
There is. Well, it's also interesting just to finish the Jinshin, because it's worth mentioning, the fingers spell out fast. So the thumbs are sort of, you know, just anxiety. The index finger is fear. So you grab that if you're in fearful. The middle finger, very appropriately, is anger. The ring finger is trying too hard. No, I'm sorry, sadness. And the pinky finger is trying too hard. But this, you're right. Like if you're standing, making an argument to a judge or standing across from somebody having a conversation, you might feel weird to be grabbing your fingers. The other thing about body work is when you are slouching, you know, and a lot of times in these conflicts, we sort of, especially if we're not fighters, but we're fawners or freezers, we tend to sort of pull in. And if you could see me, I'm sort of slouching my shoulders and putting my head down. And it's protective, right? It's protecting your neck, which is a threatened point. It's a delicate point for the human body. It's protecting your heart. It's protecting your stomach, which also is dangerous if someone attacks it. But you're telling your body when you do that, I must be in danger. I'm protecting all of my delicate areas. So if you can stand up straight and pull those shoulders back, first of all, it presents very well to the person you're in front of, but it tells your subconscious, I must be safe because I wouldn't otherwise be exposing myself this way.
You know what's so interesting about that? If you, I don't know, I do this from time to time. Sometimes I slouch. Sometimes I know I'm slouching because I'm trying to be small in a room and I get mad at myself for doing that. Sometimes I slouch and I don't realize I'm slouching. But if you take a moment and you just say to yourself, how is my posture right now? And you just kind of straighten up, you can almost instantly feel a little bit better, unless that's just me.
Physiology affects your psychology. Yep.
That's yes. Right. Yes. 100%. And I notice, Heather, you are another one who taught me this. You used to say, I love this phrase, that sometimes you wear your shoulders as earrings.
Yes, no shoulders as earrings.
Shoulders as earrings. And when I look at myself, like if I'm looking back at a podcast that I've done just to critique myself, I'll go, oh my God, I'm wearing my shoulders as earrings. And I didn't realize it at the time. Yeah. And then, but when you open up, you just automatically feel better.
You do. And you feel calmer. You feel safer. So much of conflict and what we deem as conflict is just because we feel unsafe. We feel unchosen. We feel unseen. You know, I always say when we're talking to people, all people want is to feel seen, safe, and special. And in these conversations, we feel unseen. We feel unsafe. We feel that we're not special. And so and the other person feels that way too. And so if you can calm your feelings of those things, then you can help the other person to feel seen, safe, and special, especially if they're a loved one, which a lot of times these conversations are with loved ones. Mm-hmm. And then either way, loved one or not, you're much more likely to actually get what you want if you're able to do that.
Heather, can you speak? This might be a tiny bit off topic, but it's something that I've also noticed that I'm doing that I find effective when you're talking to someone and that someone is either mad at you or maybe just mad at something, but you're getting it because you're the one in the conversation with them. Mm-hmm. I guess the word I'm looking for is ownership. Like, for example, if I have a conversation with a court clerk and I need to change something and that court clerk is upset now because they have to go out of their way and look for a date, blah, blah, blah. Instead of me saying, well, you know, my client deserves this, so just do it. If I say, you know what? I know that this is a pain. I know I've created this problem for you. I am so sorry that I have to do this. Is there something I could do to make it easier for you? And then they melt a little bit. And then you both get where you want to be.
100%.
A little bit of cash under the table helps too.
True. You've made that person feel seen.
What it is? That's what melts them? I like that.
100%. It's so, you know, when... we've probably talked about this before because I talk about it a lot. It's what I did my TEDx talk on. You know, there's a difference between cognitive empathy and affective empathy. And I don't think that I think we put them together and it's to our peril, because affective empathy is feeling what the other person feels. If you feel that clerk's frustration, resentment, disgust, you know, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. you're not going to be as effective in that conversation.
Right.
And just like if you feel your client's fear, frustration, impatience, you're not going to be as effective. Right. I don't think effective empathy is as important, especially in a professional setting. Cognitive empathy, though, seeing their perspective, seeing the clerk's perspective, that person might get in trouble with the judge. They might get in trouble with the administrator. They might be having a bad day. Then you can speak to that perspective and be so much more effective and influential than if you just fight back.
And that requires you to have your eyes kind of open when you're having these difficult conversations.
Yeah, you have to be willing to. You know, you cannot change someone's belief until you understand theirs. Oh. And so you've got to be willing to listen. I just reread a book that is so good called You're Not Listening. It's actually sitting right here by Kate Murphy. And as I reread it, it came out some time before the pandemic. As I reread it, I was struck by how much she makes the case really well that listening is actually more charismatic than speaking. And listening actually makes you.
I wonder if I could go become a paid listener. I'm sorry.
You should.
You're a paid speaker, Heather. Yeah. I could be a
paid listener.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, Carol, because in that book, she talks about the research that says that if you're speaking to a bad listener, you become a worse speaker. Because, and it happens. I was just talking to someone, preparing someone for a challenging conversation yesterday. And while we were preparing, the person that she was sort of mocking off of, someone kept walking behind them and then slipped them something. And then the person got distracted. And I watched the speaker get worse.
Because
you know, like the other person's distracted and you're wondering what they're doing. And then there's actually research, and Kate cites it in her book, that you slur more. You have a harder time finding your words. The cognitive load gets greater. And so as a good listener, you're really helpful to the speaker. you make the speaker better. And I will say, I told this story to a friend recently. I was in an audience once at an event, and there was someone speaking, and a lot of people were distracted on their phones and everything. And as a speaker, I'm very sympathetic to that. So I was overly listening. I was like leaning in and nodding my head and trying to give this person feedback. And the person, who was quite well known, sought me out afterwards and thanked me for being such a good listener. And I ended up working with that person. So there is enormous
power
in being a good listener.
Wow. What a cool story.
I love that. I know we could go on, and there are a million things that we could talk about with you. And I know we have to be mindful of your time, and I know we have to let you go. And before we do that, though, I want to make sure that everybody within the sound of our voice can find you, because you have a lot going on, whether you are an expert, another attorney, a regular Joe, like a Frankenberry. So
don't wish that on anybody, Jonna.
Although Frankenberry is not on the Instagram, and I follow you on the Instagram because you, like, almost every day you have something that is just profound and helpful and easy to understand. So Heather, how can everybody find you and connect with you?
So Instagram's a great place because that's where I'm sharing the general lay people stuff. And that's at An Elegant Warrior. That's Instagram. My website is hhansengroup.com, and my last name is with an E-N. And there you've got some of the stuff I do for litigation, but also leadership, speaking, and my courses. The course you'll see there now is for expert witnesses, but I'm working on a course primarily for women. I find that a lot of women are experts, but they're not chosen for board seats, opportunities, C-suite positions, etc. And so this course is on how to be chosen and going from expert to authority. And that course is almost complete. So I'll probably be offering that to the public in late fall.
Oh my God. That's great. So you're going to come back with us.
I would love to. I would love to.
And before that, we're all going to meet for cocktails and fun. So
please, please.
Yes. We absolutely must. We have been speaking with our good friend and amazing all-around person, Heather Hansen. Heather, thank you so much for taking the time out for us. We miss you. We really appreciated talking with you today, and we can't wait to see you and talk with you.
Thanks,
again.
Heather.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's always so fun.
Yes, thank you very much there, Heather Hansen. And no, I am not on, as Jonna would say, the Instagram. I have no intentions of being on the Instagram. I have no words of wisdom. I have no pearls to drop. I have no daily affirmations. So you're not going to get none. Okay? Sorry. But anyway, thanks again, Heather Hansen, for joining us. For Jonna Spillmore, for Carol Pesci, I am the fellow that's not on Instagram, and we'll be back again next week. So please join us again then. Just not on Instagram for me.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spillmore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
Always nice to have her back for like the 18th time. What do you think?
Yeah, she's just
there's something I can listen to her voice all day long. I don't know what it is.
And I don't know how she does that. I know. It's like a, I don't know. It's like a hug.
It's like a hug, but smart, well spoken, engaging. Yeah, she's sharp. I like her. Very like comfortable to listen to.
Yeah, very easy to listen to. Her stuff makes sense. It's just so, and don't you love, and she is full of these. If people do listen to her podcasts, you know, it's sometimes you have an aha moment. Like one small point can be made, and all of a sudden you said to yourself,
yeah,
that's the thing that was missing. That was the ingredient in life that was missing, and it can make such a huge difference. She is full of those, like full of them. And one of the things that we love about her. So it's always, always a good chat. She's always generous with her time. What little time I think she has these days. But that's good. That's good that she's so busy.
How long ago did she leave the legal world?
So I was trying to think about that. I want to say that she like fully, she kind of inched out of it. But I don't want to say she inched out of it. She made up her mind to get out of it. And then she did it sort of step by step. That's a better way to put it. So she went from full time to half time. And she went from half time to just consulting. And then she went from just consulting to I'm out of here. So she started that process, I'm going to say, people, probably at least 8 years ago.
Oh, that long already.
I want to say that. I want to say that. Yes. So, yeah. But and I do envy that. But, you know, look, you've had great success too, Carol. You've changed careers a time or two over the course of your life, right?
Yeah.
So it can be done. You've got to have the gumption to do it.
And wasn't Sherry Lead? Wasn't she a lawyer as well?
Yeah.
That's true, too. I love her.
Yep.
And I think, and for some reason, I think there might even, do we have anybody else there who left the law world, or some folks that, you know, decided to write the book and left the big business world?
We've had numerous guests.
A few of those, yeah.
Big business, to speak and to write. And, you know, and that's one of the things. We even had, didn't we have a guest who wrote the book? Oh, God, I know you know his name, Carol. Oh, and he wasn't that long ago. Didn't he write Burn the Boats?
Oh, Matt Higgins.
Matt, yes. And that's kind of the mindset that you have to have. Maybe we'll grab him and have him back on the show sometime soon. But she's always a good time, Heather Hansen. She's so smart. You
love
guys
her.
Can catch a lot of her material free on her podcast. On Instagram, she always has something like once a day, at least, you're going to get some pearl of wisdom. So follow her. Her Instagram is I Am Heather Hansen. And her latest website is BeliefBuilders.com. And she's always a good time. We've got to go have some cocktails with her. Okay.
Her Instagram, I Am Heather Hansen, and you are not, with a raspberry sound. Bang, with a na-na-na-na-na-na.
Back on the sound effects app. Okay.
That's right, back on the sound effects app.
All right,
Heather Hansen, thank you so much for joining us again here on Happy Hour, and for Jonas Billboard, and for Carol Pesci, and for Frank and Barry, and I'll speak in the third person. We are gone for this week. We'll be back again next week, and make sure you tune us in then, please, soon. Okay?
Okay, pumpkin.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Bilbor and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.